What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Total Package Girl, written by Christy Hoffman, is a new interactive book for every girl living through the challenges of growing up in the 21st century. Today, girls face cyberbullying, peer pressure, confidence issues, body image, and more. This hour, author Christy Hoffman joins 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Author Christy Hoffman has researched teen issues and mentored girls for more than 20 years as a volunteer for Girl Scouts of USA. She is a businesswoman and CEO of the Total Package Global, a leading professional and personal development corporation. Christy, welcome to 411 Teen.
Thank you. It's great to be here today.
Yeah, I look forward to talking with you because you confront the questions that girls lots of times are afraid to ask, and you provide strategies to successfully, how shall I say, navigate our complicated world and also encourage a strong sense of self. What was the impetus for you writing this book?
Well, I have been working with girls for about 22 years, mentoring them, speaking with them, volunteering with Girl Scouts of the USA, and I have seen the challenges that have arisen in the last decade or two as it relates to girls, whether it's the sort of lack of confidence that is developing more and more so as technologies such as social media, you know, Snapchat and such, take precedence in their lives, or it may be something as age-old, if you will, as the body image issues that I faced as I was growing up as a teenager. But in seeing some of these things, seeing girls feeling a lack of confidence and in terms of bullying and low body image, low esteem, I really felt strongly that I had to take action. I had to write a book, do some research. So it took about 4 years for me to write this book, and I feel really strongly that this is an empowerment tool for girls to use to stay strong and kind of get ahead of the game and stay confident.
Well, when you think about young girls and young women today, do you feel like they are confronted with more issues concerning life, or are they just different issues?
I think a little bit of both. I think it might be same issues, but kind of coming upon them in different ways, in unique ways than they did, say, 20 years ago. Obviously, with the advent of the smartphone, and every young person, or many young people, I should say, have access to a smartphone. And what comes with that smartphone, you know, the phone we buy for them as parents. We think, okay, this is great. They're going to have communication. They're going to touch base with us when they go to events or parties. But in fact, we're kind of giving them a bit of a, I guess a quote-unquote weapon to access every single thing there is on the Internet. And so I think that in and of itself is a huge difference in how our teens are accessing information for the better or for the worse.
Where do you find that many girls get information surrounding issues like their bodies and like sex? I mean, do they get them from the older sister or the older friend? How much is the smartphone actually utilized?
Great question. Certainly, I think siblings and that whole peer group has an impact on our girls and our teens, our boys as well. I also feel that much of their information is accessed by, if you will, through Instagram, Snapchat, the Snapchat stories, Twitter, videos, online videos, YouTube. I think much of their information today is gleaned from those. As parents, I was just having a dialogue today with a group of parents, and we were discussing how as I said earlier, we give them the smartphone, but really once you give it to them, mm-hmm. once they open their Instagram account, they have a Snapchat account, they have a Twitter account, you as a parent lose an awful lot of control on what they're doing because you can't be with them 24/7 on that phone. And they have that phone more often than you think to do things, you know, whether it's at lunchtime at school or in the car or wherever it may be with friends or what have you. They're looking at information coming through to them.
Well, what suggestions might you offer to parents? Because it seems like a smartphone is just something that everyone needs. Everyone has to have today. Mm-hmm. You know, especially as far as teens and teens are concerned, everybody has a smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, that's a problem.
That's for sure. Well, you know, coaches, for example, mm-hmm. coaches rely on smartphones to tell their teams when practices are,
right.
when the bus leaves, when the, you know, so coaches, captains, they all use that as the means of, whether it's an app, you know, a GroupMe app or one of those apps, they're all using those for teams to communicate and mm-hmm. to remind them of certain times. So to take that phone away, you actually are handicapping your children from communication
Indeed.
As it relates to school or even, you know, honors classes. Let's say it honors your child, your teen's in an honors biology class, and the teacher is using a Remind Me app to talk about when the next exam is or when the next quiz is. So I guess while we have that phone for appropriate purposes, for our kids, also we have to be reminded that kids should not have their phones at nighttime used mm-hmm. as their alarm clocks for the morning. You know, take the phones, as parents, we should take those phones and put them, you know, find a meditation area or something like that in the nighttime so that you have their phones or their phones are not in their bedrooms. Certain parental controls, you can go through your phone carrier and you can set up certain times where they can't access the internet, mm-hmm. the web. You might be able to monitor the apps that they're using, and so they're not downloading inappropriate apps. Also, as parents, we need to look at the music that they're downloading, mm-hmm. Spotify and some of those things. And some of that music is explicit, and being able to watch that to the extent that we can. I mean, we know that kids can hide those things on their smartphones, too. So trying to just provide parameters for mm-hmm. our kids so that they understand that structure is really important. We do care about them making smart choices. We do care about the influencers in their lives. So helping to guide them in that direction is really important for kids to understand, for our teens to know that we do care.
Well, one thing you said I find a little disturbing. I would think that parents would really have a visceral response to this is when you talked about them getting a lot of information from Snapchat and Instagram. Well, we know where that's coming from, and the information there may not be accurate.
For sure.
Usually isn't.
True. And if you're a teen mm-hmm. and you're wondering about certain things, you know, peer pressure moments will override the right thing. You know, I tell kids all the time that the right choice isn't, or that the easy choice isn't necessarily the right choice, and vice versa.
Right.
The right choice isn't necessarily the easy choice. And some of the things that they do see on Instagram or any of the social media sites that you pick, they're not necessarily appropriate. They're not necessarily accurate. So, you know, I guess having those family dinners where you have a dialogue and you have that communication and you're able to talk to them and say, look, I understand that you're going to be accessing Instagram and you're going to see photos and videos on Instagram and you're going to be Snapchatting with certain people. Make sure that these are appropriate photos that you're sending and then talk through some of the ramifications. I mean, you can read you can Google, you can go online, and you can see some of the ramifications that occur from, let's say, girls sending nude mm-hmm. selfies to boys, and suddenly they're in a Dropbox, and the Dropbox is shared with the world. And the next thing you know, you've got a school getting involved in a scenario where if the girls just wouldn't have sent the photos in the first place, that
right.
wouldn't have happened, but they didn't know what was coming. So helping our girls, our boys, our teens mm-hmm. in general, understand ramifications of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the real life scenario, sometimes they don't understand theoretically what we're saying to them.
Well, when we look at sex and sexuality and all the issues, self-esteem and dating and body image, and it goes on, many decisions can only be enhanced with education, knowing the actual, the real deal, so to speak. Okay?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And they don't get that when they do it on Instagram and Snapchat. When you look at the different areas or components of a teen's life, what role does, in your opinion, does or should school play?
School?
Mm-hmm.
School in the different, well, now, are you talking like in friendships? Let's just talk about that for a moment.
Okay.
In friendships. I mean, I think school counselors play a huge role in helping our kids with, I guess, taking bullying to a serious level.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one piece of it there. And exploring different kids and that is accepting. They are accepting of each other's differences. I think schools can play a huge role in that, bringing in programming that ties to leadership and confidence and kindness.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that is
compassion
for another. These are things, you know, every student is so different. You have the, you know, LGBTQ communities now, and students have been schools expressing their uniqueness and acceptance of others in their lives and choices that they make. The schools can play a role in some of these decisions, whether it's tied to acting in a nice way, doing one kind deed for somebody else.
Even bullying, I think, you know, because you see a lot of it occurs at school with the mean girls, and how the school and the administrators and authorities respond to it is also very important.
Yes, I agree with you. Having, I think a lot of schools now, girls' schools in particular, in fact, I work with a girls' school now, parents are really saying to teachers, can you help? There are so many mean girls.
Mm-hmm.
They're affecting my daughters, and I don't know what to do about it, and I can't stop it. My daughter is coming home, and she's in tears, and she can't function, and she doesn't want to go to school because girls are being so nasty.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I am talking with Christy Hoffman, author of Total Package Girl. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me on the phone is Christy Hoffman. She is the author of Total Package Girl, identifying various issues that girls face in today's 21st century. Christy, I had to interrupt you because we were talking about bullying and school and mean girls. Did you want to elaborate or continue about that? Because this mean girl phenomena seems to really be something that has mushroomed.
It definitely has. Yes, I'd love to elaborate.
Okay.
I think you were asking about the role of schools,
mm-hmm.
how they can help with bullying.
Right.
I think authorities, teachers need to be on high alert for these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
I was just reading an article, it was in the New York Times, about the rate of suicides with our girls who are in the 11 to 13 range tied to cyberbullying. And the numbers are alarming. And I guess I need to say loud and clear, parents, teachers, counselors, keep your eyes open. If girls are being bullied or cyberbullied, you may only hear one comment, but be aware, help these girls get through it by playing a supportive role for them. Allow them to talk to you about it. Make sure they understand the processes of developing a support system, blocking mm-hmm. them when the bullies are trying to send them instant messages, send them mean tweets, these are the kinds of things. They need to block them for sure. And schools need to step in and really help these kids and support these kids and educate them on what it means to be a mean girl or a mean guy. And to stop this, and that there's a zero tolerance policy for this, because it's really not going to stop.
No.
I think it's how we handle it that's going to make the difference.
Do you think that mean girls and bullying has increased, or are we just more sensitive to it? Before we'd say, well, you just deal with it, you know, ignore them, whatever. But it seems like this is a common topic when you start talking about teens and coping and dealing with the world, that bullying, cyberbullying, and the whole mean girls phenomena just seems to raise its ugly head.
Yeah, and I think to an extent there have always been mean girls. There have been bullies since I can remember, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that with the advent and the increase in all of these different social media sites, that absolutely it has allowed people to hide behind the facade of their phones. And, I mean, for example, someone could send a nasty tweet to someone in the evening and send something out that is absolutely derogatory about another person and show up the next morning at school and act like nothing ever happened. So the person about which the tweet was sent is mortified and goes to school the next day feeling humiliated because something went out to a mass group, and the other person can hide behind the facade and act as though nothing ever happened. So I do think that this has increased. I think we need to teach our girls that these kinds of things are going to happen. In fact, in part three of Total Package Girl, my book, I talk about some of these, I call them absolute realities, that things like this are going to happen. You are going to be left out of the party. You are going to be left out of the Snapchat story. You're going to be, on and on, ostracized. Things like this are going to happen. It's how you find your confidence and work through them, such as develop a strong, true blue support system where you have friends who will not throw you under the bus, so to speak. Develop of that nature that allow you to shine, finding an activity, whether that activity is getting involved in sports of sort for recreation, a travel sport, or maybe it's an art or a drama class, or perhaps it's a musical instrument, somewhere where you find your confidence and there is a group of like-minded individuals. Girl Scout troops is another great example. Getting involved where you have an interest, a common interest, a common support system that is kind of built into the hobby or the activity. I highly recommend that. Studies do show that when you have involvement and you find confidence in something like that, you can make better decisions in peer pressure moments.
Right. It enhances their whole self-concept. And once they feel good about themselves, they can act more independently also. You don't find them running in crowds or trying to at least follow the leader, so to speak. When that child or that girl has self-confidence and feels good about herself and good about the decisions that she makes. Would you agree?
I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I also think things like negative self-talk, negative people in your world,
people who
bring you down, if we can open our girls' and guys' eyes to those types of negative comments, and I call that putting a power shield up, kind of having a shield that doesn't allow some of those things into our psyche so that they don't become indelible marks in our brains and we think that we are not good enough, and so that they do not have that long-lasting effect. That's really important. Let's aim for positivity, positive comments. You know, for as long as I can remember, any physicality that is not perfect it seems to be highlighted by people and made fun of, and that's what the bullies.
That's what they do.
Whether it's you have crooked teeth, you have acne, you have whatever it might be. That seems to be the thing that people want to play up. So being proud of who you were born to be is really a message that as parents we can really work to instill in our teens and in our preteens as well.
Are young folks, girls and boys, better informed today about health and sex issues than they were 20 years ago?
What did you say? I'm sorry.
I said, are young folks, particularly girls, are they better informed about health and sex issues than they were 20 years ago? What's your take on that from your experience in working with teens and girls?
In working with teens and girls, I would tell you they see more.
Mm-hmm.
They are exposed to more. They know more, for better or for worse. Are they better informed? I would say they know more.
Mm-hmm.
If you think that your 10, 11, 12, and 13-year-old hasn't seen videos that are inappropriate online, then you are probably incorrect. I think most of our young kids see a lot more graphic videos, pornography, photography, inappropriate selfies, all of those things. Informed, whether, as you said earlier, I don't know that the information is accurate or correct in what they're hearing or what they're sharing, but certainly what they're seeing is right in front of them, and you can't undo that once they've watched a video that comes up when they're just Googling a particular title or a YouTube video. So, I think that they're seeing a lot more. I think they're exposed to much more at a much earlier age. And if we as parents can somehow allow them to hold off on seeing some of these visuals and these graphics and some of these videos, I think we're better off for it as a population.
Well, Christy, I enjoyed reading your book. I read your book. I thought it was well written. I found it to be appealing. And the one component of it that I particularly liked was the interactive component of your book. I think it's a real asset. How did you develop that? What made you go in that direction? What were the areas that you considered in writing the book? How did it evolve, I guess?
Well, thanks so much for that large compliment. I really appreciate that. I have to tell you, 3 years into writing this book, I had done all the research. I'd worked with Girl Scouts. I brought in personal stories and anecdotes, and there was something that was still a little flat with the book, and I couldn't tell what it was exactly. So I took the manuscript, and I copied it, and I gave it to between 30 and 50 girls.
Okay.
I thought, you know what? It needs girls. And I gave it to different socioeconomic, different ages within the target audience between 11 and 17, and I gave it to just many girls and said, here's a red pen, here's a manuscript. Tell me what you like, what you don't like, what does it need, what doesn't it need, and I really used these girls as my informal research. They came back to me and they said, I love this, I don't love this, I could use a little more on that. At which point I said, we need to put quizzes in this book. We need to put some mantras, some quotes, some fun activities for them. And it started to evolve into a much more fun and interactive journal, but yet some, I call them me quizzes, where they get to learn about themselves and take some self-inquiry responses and then build upon those into learning who they are. And so that's how it developed, and it kept evolving, and we worked in some pretty fun stories, and there's a little bit of an aha when you get to the end that I won't share with the listeners, but it's kind of fun when you start to hear some of the stories that are in there and how they evolve in the end. So I think adding real life scenarios, when I surveyed the girls, I asked them what were the biggest issues facing them. And it certainly was cyberbullying and mean girls. It was body image issues, and friendships and relationships were big, as was how do I deal with my parents. So I wrote this book addressing those issues. And I also wanted to make it very clear to girls that life isn't always easy. and let's talk about that in a way that's engaging yet conversational. And making sure that every single girl who reads this book knows that she is never alone. That was, if I got one goal across to these girls, that was my goal. Mm-hmm. To keep this book on their nightstands, to say, oh my gosh, I remember there was a section in there that was tied to, I'm looking through my book right now, tied to a non-true blue friend,
mm-hmm.
somebody who's negative in my life.
Right.
What do I do? And then they can leaf through the book and find that section.
Well, you know what I liked? I just liked the little tidbits you would give. I mean, like, there's one that JBU, just be you, and not who everyone else tells you to be. Stand up for you and what you believe in. And those are all through the book, and they're so right on target. I mean, they are, I thought they were very, very well done. And they sent a clear message, and the message was positive and realistic. And that's what I found the most, I mean, out of all of it, it's a good book, but I like those little tidbits that you would add there.
Well, thank you. And you know, the girls told me that they don't like to read these long chapters with
mm-hmm.
words, you know. And so that's what we did. We increased it, I guess, from a kind of an aesthetics standpoint. We increased the white space in the book so it's not real heavy in terms of verbiage everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We put a fair amount of hashtags, as you pointed out,
yeah.
some mantras, a lot of space for writing, a fair amount of graphics. Some quotes. We even put QR codes in there.
Mm-hmm.
So if they wanted to take their smartphone and scan the QR codes, they could take them to a certain part on our website. We have a smartphone app that we have tied to this as well. It's a Total Package Lifestyle smartphone app that ties to the book. We also, you know, we talk about future self and goal setting. And I think girls love to think about themselves not where they think they might be, but where they will be
mm-hmm.
in 1 year, in 5 years, in 10 years. And when they're 100 years old, how do they picture themselves? You know, one of the number one things that I think we can teach our girls, too, is communication skills.
Oh, yes, yes.
How to use their voices.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Indeed. I mean, that was something I've certainly wanted us to address because I think communication, and you talked about communication, is so important in all of the arenas, whether it's in school, with parents, with peers, communication, clear communication. And you know, communication doesn't mean just talking. It also involves listening.
Yes, absolutely. And I think one of my favorite quotes in the book is stop listening to everyone else's voice so you can hear your own. And I think that with how girls are brought up today, we are told to kind of be quiet, kind of sit back and listen, be polite. And I think being polite is wonderful and having respect is absolutely imperative in life. I also think teaching our girls and boys to be assertive in their communication is very important. As they get older and they get into the workforce, one of the number one reasons people are fired is poor interpersonal skills. They can't work well with others. They can't play well together. So can we teach our girls and our boys at a young age the ability to assertively communicate our feelings, our thoughts, to feel comfortable raising our hand in class? You know, studies show, and Girl Scouts can tell you this too, the National Girl Scout Research Institute can tell you that when you put girls in a room where there are boys and you ask a question, let's say a classroom setting, and let's say they're between the ages of 9 and 11,
mm-hmm.
it is much more likely that when a question is asked that all the boys will raise their, many of the boys will raise their hand and girls will not. They will defer to the boys in the classroom. How can we teach our young girls that it's okay to raise your hand, too, that your voice, your comments, and what you're going to be saying is completely relevant and actually extremely important to the conversation? And when they speak, their thoughts are so unique and so special that we need to hear those. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's one of those things that I address in Total Package Girl, that we as a society need to teach our girls that their voices need to be heard, that it will empower them
right.
to speak up and take it.
Well, we have to validate them because that's what it's about. If they have validation, then they feel good and they feel comfortable and confident, and they can raise their hand and they can speak up and they can share their opinions and not be worried about the flack that they may get.
Amen. I think sometimes girls hear one time they get shut down in a conversation, mm-hmm. and then they get nervous.
Right.
And anxious about speaking up again. But I say teach our girls to push through that moment in time that they are pushed down, or maybe someone shut them down and didn't allow them to speak, or told them that what they said was stupid, not relevant, right. not important. But I say teach our girls, just keep talking, keep expressing their opinions, and continuing to stay relevant in the classroom, in their sports, when they're on a team. Their opinion really does matter.
Well, this is a period developmentally where they're very vulnerable. That whole feeling self-conscious and feeling like if you say one thing, if you look at them the wrong way, they become uncomfortable with themselves. So I call it that period of vulnerability. And if you can validate what they're doing, who they are, that just kind of gives them that push and that support that is necessary. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. This hour, I'm talking with Christy Hoffman, author of Total Package Girl. The conversation will continue following this brief break. What's the 411? You're tuned into 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and I'm talking with Christy Hoffman. Christy is an educator. She empowers girls to redefine their culture. She's a visionary, and she's just dedicated to building self-confidence in girls. Christy, who is the total package girl? Who, what, when, where? Talk to us about it.
Well, I love the term total package girl, mm-hmm. because the way I see it, we look at ourselves so much now in the media as just a body and a physicality.
Oh, yeah.
And I want girls to know that the total package of the girl is her body, her brain, and her spirit. When those three work together, she can be acting authentically. She can make a real difference in this world by being, positive and being real in the actions that she takes. So I think a total package girl is someone who is loving, she's special, she's kind, she's confident in what she does and who she is. I talk often to girls about master plan to be a total package girl, and that is being true and having a strategy for each of those three areas, the body, the brain, and the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Remembering that, when we're talking about the physical only, and when someone in the preteen and teen years is making fun of how someone looks, what their
right.
body shape is, or something like that, to remind girls and boys that that is really irrelevant in the overall scheme of things, that life is not about just what you look like. Remember your smart mm-hmm. brain. Remember to nurture your spirit. And remember the whole you. So that's where this total package girl came from. And I also think a total package girl not only takes care of herself in those three areas, she does that for sure, in body, brain, and spirit. And she also is a compassionate, kind person. And she understands that living life with, I call it, her eyes wide open to the needs of others mm-hmm. is a very important piece of this whole puzzle. We have to teach our girls and our youth to be compassionate towards others.
Well, we've been talking about this book and talking about the book, but for the listening audience, where can they get the book?
Total Package Girl is available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, BooksandBooks.com. Let's see here. And they can go to our website at TotalPackageGirl.com and get it there. So it's available everywhere.
Okay. All right. Well, I just wanted my listening audience to, you know, have the necessary info. They hear this. They might want to get one. Well, for themselves, the parents might want one, you know, their daughters, whomever. But I wanted them to know how to get one. What you talked about interacting and getting the opinions of a number of different girls. What influence did you find culture has on these issues? And I'm thinking, when I say these issues, I'm thinking about variables like beauty standard, sexuality. Did you find, or were you able to look at culture and the impact that it has?
I think in general, as we see culture is shifting in terms of some of the ways that we receive messaging, whether it's selfies, to see that now we can alter the way we look. Shows us that it's okay to have an app that changes and elongates and morphs the way we look, so that we look perfect. We can put a filter on ourselves. And I think as we study some of the things that are happening today in today's sort of modern-day culture, we're seeing a shift to morphing ourselves. And I think in some regards, and I go out on a limb as I say this, in some regards I think that girls and women have taken a step back when it comes to that, in terms of feeling confident in who we are. Because if we're not comfortable with what we look like, we can change that. We can only put our best foot forward when we do the Facebook post or the Instagram post. And we can, sort of label ourselves in a certain way. And that's kind of how we're shifting in some regards. So I think that's not necessarily healthy. Now, conversely, I do think, as a vote for social media and for where our culture is headed technologically speaking, I do think it's opened the lines of communication. And our kids are able to meet and communicate with others via their smartphones who may be across the globe. And I think there's a true beauty and benefit to that as well. So it has opened up the world in a way that our kids sort of can grow from and learn culturally about others. But, of course, that's a double-edged sword of, okay, now we have that, but what else are our kids learning and what are they seeing? So how do we kind of measure that exposure to many, many people who are strangers with, teaching them the right lessons?
Did you note any differences in girls' perspectives, our views, when it comes to, look, you said you looked at the socioeconomic status. You went the whole gamut. Did you notice any difference between those girls who were lower socioeconomic status?
Lower or higher? No, I think, well, as it comes to some of the accessibility for technology, that plays a factor, who has the access to iPads and laptops and such, of course, that plays a big role in communication and in image and portrayal of that. I think that's for sure. And the music, the culture of the music industry as well, plays a big factor in that as well. Socioeconomically speaking, I think the issues present themselves the same way in terms of body image. And how you feel about yourself, whether you're picked on or not, as being bullied. So I think you could say that issues play out fairly evenly across the board as it relates to some certain body image issues, positivity versus negativity, friendship issues. They are evenly dispersed, if you will.
Okay. All right. Well, one of the issues that you mentioned earlier was parents. that the young teens, you know, identify, you know, parental relationships. And how do mothers and daughters, do you have any suggestions as to how mothers and daughters may establish and maintain a healthy friendship and relationship? Should they be friends or should they be mother and daughter? Lots of times you see these mothers and you can't tell whether they're the mother or the sister. But comment on that, because I think that is an ongoing issue and question.
Well, I certainly think that, you know, parents need to, mothers in particular, as we're talking now, need to establish the role of parent, no question about it. I think it's a two-way street when it comes to that relationship. So there's a certain expectation that parents need to make and a certain expectation that daughters do as well. But I think having some open communication and channels and activities, as well as understanding conflict resolution, those are very important as well. Some of the things I'll say to like a mom and me type of activity, for example, is how about the share the journal activity, where you go out and you buy a journal, and the mom writes a note to the daughter and then slips it under her pillow or somewhere, and then the daughter sees that and reads it and then writes back and puts it somewhere in mom's car or, you know, somewhere for mom. And then mom writes and reads about it, and maybe they ask questions of each other, and they have a communication via a journal. And that's been a really effective tool that we've used to open the lines of communication. Maybe it'll be some, maybe it won't come back for a couple of days, and maybe it'll take a while, but the idea that there's a sort of communication there with a mom and a parent. But I think also to your point and to what we were saying earlier, parents need to provide structure. Kids like structure. They may balk at it, they may complain about it, but you need to set the rules for your household and for the expectations of your kids. And I will tell you over and over again how many times this has come up. Can parents be friends? I mean, I guess my opinion on that is it's more important to be the parent. And if in so doing you have an open dialogue and an open communication, fabulous. Parents can very much be the true blue friend for their kids. And what I mean by that is allow your kids to talk to you about concerns without jumping down their throat and criticizing or judging how they've responded. Sometimes it's hard for us as parents to listen. But if we can listen without judgment, allow our kids to be sharing some of these scenarios that they're facing at school, we can certainly be a true blue friend to them.
I think I think it's also important that parents recognize that their daughters and sons may grow separately, yet they do not have to grow apart, you know? I think often parents on the other side are tripped out because their young child that has been dependent upon them for so many years now has a mind of their own. They have friends of their own. And they may not want to include mom and dad, but allow them to grow. And they can grow separately, but grow again, that does not mean they have to grow apart.
So true. And I think, too, you know, parents need to communicate with the kids that, hey, parents make mistakes, too, and we don't know everything.
Right.
And talk to our kids about how our kids can get savvy, if you will, with us. So say, you know what? I need a hug every day, daughter or son.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, teaching them that parents need hugs too. And I tell the teens I work with to understand the type, quote unquote, type of parent they have. You know, some parents are very calm and easygoing. Others are a little quicker to get emotional. And they may be a little bit more of a raise your voice type of parent, I call them. So if you know your parents' type, you can understand them better. And to tell kids that, you know what, they need to keep on talking, just like the parents need to keep on talking. Everybody's doing the best they can do, and if you can remind each other of that, that sets a mutual respect within the household and within the relationship.
Indeed. Yeah, I mean, and all of this is normal. You have to remind parents that. This is normal. You want them to grow and to identify who they are. You know, fitting in, for example, parents, oh, you don't have to fit in. Just do your own thing. Well, fitting in is important at this time in the search for identity. Now, that doesn't mean you have to fit in, but you have to understand that this is an integral part of one's life at this point. Fitting in, just like breakups.
I so agree. And if your kids aren't fitting in, instead of telling them, you know, whatever, that's great for independence, understand that right now they're really sharing something that's hurting them right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're not fitting in, and this is a problem for them. And so they're telling you something. There's a hidden story within what they're sharing with you. And it may be something so quick and so subtle that if you're not listening, you're not going to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's so important for us as parents to recognize that we don't always have to have a solution, but if we can just be there to listen, that's half the battle in and of
itself.
They just need a sounding board.
That's it. But lots of times that's where the problem comes. We don't listen. You can't listen with your mouth open. Okay.
That's true. And, you know, oh my goodness, that's so true. I agree with you.
And that's what happens in many cases. And I know they don't mean it in the way that it's conveyed, but you need to hear what they're saying. You need
a great,
to, right.
A great expression, too, I was going to say, is that some of the best listeners listen between the lines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think as parents, if we can do more of that, that will lend for more effective relationships.
Well, we only have a few minutes left, but I wanted to have you comment on, you know, this whole violence and disrespect and objectification of females and women. You know, they're depicted throughout society in videos and movies and attitudes. And what impact does this have on the formation of self in females?
As it relates to our body image, media plays a huge role in that. We need to, as women, as girls, we need to make sure that we're not giving, as parents, let's start with that, as parents to our daughters, we need to not compare. We need to let our daughters know they are beautiful just as they are and to teach them some very positive mantras and give no energy to negative comments and negative judgments whatsoever. I think when we see images on television or when we see women who are being portrayed as perhaps role models, which you as parents may feel otherwise, we need to bring that up and talk about that and have a dialogue with our daughters and say, you know what, those are airbrushed photos or that is not what real life is. Love yourself for just who you are and teach our daughters that who they are is not only good enough, it's perfect.
Well, I applaud you and how you were addressing the body, the brain, and the spirit. You talked about that before. What role does one's faith play in all of this?
I'm a big faith person.
Mm-hmm.
I feel strongly that building in meditation, building in prayer, building in gratitude into our lives every morning when we put our feet on the floor, and before we put our feet on the floor even, and if we can be grateful and have gratitude. You know, I want to say something about our teens. Our teens are stressed.
Yeah.
They're seeing a lot of things right now. They're a very stressed out population. If we can teach our kids to be mindful, take deep breaths. I recommend 4 deep breaths when they feel a sense of anxiety or stress. There's a lot they're facing right now, but I think being prayerful, having those moments in time where they, if they're faith-based and the household is faith-based, to really believe in the power of what that can bring in terms of positivity, in terms of gratitude and thankfulness, and kindness in this world. But I think the spiritual piece is something that we as individuals, as humans, can overlook because we get busy in the day-to-day things of life. And if we can teach our teens, if we can teach our kids to be thankful and grateful and mindful and even faithful, I think we will develop a young generation that is productive and frankly just plain kinder and happier.
Well, Christy, we are out of time. But I want to tell you it's been real. I really enjoyed everything that you said. I think the tidbits you shared are just invaluable. So to my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.